Blog Talk Radio.
This is Kentuckiana Grassroots Radio. Today we have a special guest. The title of the show is Getting to Know Bob DeVore from Mayor. Well, obviously, we were talking about Bob Denver from Gilligan's Island. No, I'm just kidding. Yes, today we are going to interview Bob DeVore, running for Louisville Metro Mayor. He's in the May primary. And I'd like to go ahead and say hello to Bob. How are we doing, Bob?
Fine, sir. How about you?
Doing pretty well. Yeah, that was the intro to a series on HBO talking about John Adams. And today
yes,
we're just going to do one of the first things. We're going to do a series of interviews with Bob and kind of let his message be known out there. So the first, this first installment, we're just going to focus on Bob DeVore, the man. As conservatives, we typically talk about the platform first, one and only, but, you know, there's a lot more depth and a lot more dimensions to people when we understand who they are. So I'd like to go ahead and just welcome Bob, and let's go ahead and get to know him. Let's see here. Now, what is... did I get it right as far as, like, I know there's a lot of different wording and everything. So this is the GOP primary. Is that what you're running for?
That is correct. It's the Republican candidate for mayor in the primaries. It'd be May 22nd.
Okay. All right. And so, yeah, we're going to go ahead and go for that. I've known about Bob for many years. I've seen one or two of his campaign speeches, and they seem pretty well. But there was just always a sense where he wasn't able to really get himself out there to the people as much as he would like to. And at the same time, and this is something that easily happens, people, they might run in a race for the first time, especially people who don't have limitless wealth or anything like that, and they would get discouraged. But Bob just never really got discouraged. In fact, he seems to get better every time he comes out there and meets people. But Bob, I'd go ahead and just like to let people know about yourself. Tell us a little bit, what was your upbringing like? How did you grow up?
Well, I was born in Cleveland, Ohio, Cahokia County, and my dad served in World War II. He was in the submarine service, and we lived there, and then we moved to Louisville, Kentucky. Off of Fixing Lane, 10-11-2 Fixing Lane, and I lived there for about 19 years. Went to Bates Elementary, then I went to First Creek High School, graduated First Creek High School in 1974. So we had a family of nine. I have four brothers, two sisters, and my mom. So we were on one salary. My dad was the provider, and mom stayed home.
So, traditional big family, you know, there's not a lot of big families these days, but, you know, there was a time when that was a lot more obvious out there. I know, like, my grandfather, he was a World War II veteran, and he had five kids. At one point, he ended up temporarily adopting the neighbor's family because there was a crisis in their home. But there was another six kids on top of the five that they already had. And so,
right.
You know, there's a lot to be kind of learned from that. What about, let's see here, I'm trying to think of like an ordering of the questions because we might kind of go over this one. I was going to talk about this later, but what are some of the life lessons that you learned, both being a part of a big family and also you had kids and upbringing and stuff like that, raising up your own kids. What kind of life lessons have you learned as a family man?
Well, let's talk with my dad. My dad was born on March 3rd, 1926, and he was in the midst of the Depression, and my grandmother, Miss Libby, they were on the farm. My grandpa had to go out there and find work, so which he had to go on trains to go far away from their house to try to find jobs because there was no jobs around that area. One of the things I'm really proud about my grandmother was she had a big heart for people. One of the things that was notorious in that area, in that era, is that she gave out bologna sandwiches out the back door. And she did that because she didn't want anybody to go hungry. So, you know, in that aspect, she served the community in trying to do what she can, even when she didn't have much at all. And to me, that's a really life lesson that my dad learned. He learned about hard work, earning his own way, and doing what he could on the farm. My grandfather passed away when he was age 36. And sooner or later, they had to sell the farm because they couldn't afford it. So they went to Louisville. So, and then he went into the military at the age of 17. What's so funny was, in his class, I mean, we're talking about a one-room school class. I mean, he was taking algebra, and his teacher didn't want him to go in the Navy because he was the smartest one in the class. So his mom had to sign for him to go into the military, and he did. So to me, that's a lesson right there. He did not delay. He knew it was his obligation to serve, and he tried to do the best he could. So he went in the Navy, and then he went into submarine service. So that's a life lesson by itself, that hard work and determination sooner or later pays off. So I've learned a lot from him on that aspect.
Yeah, and you know, something interesting to me, and this does kind of, you know, it does bring you back, you know, as far as like family and stuff and the way life used to be versus the way life has become. I was eating lunch the other day, and there were some kids that just kind of stopped in the restaurant after getting done with school and high school, and it was obvious that this one boy, he obviously was from out of the state and, you know, lived up in Michigan, and now he's coming down, and it was kind of hilarious. He said that this Louisville's described our part of the country as like the Bermuda Triangle. You know, you just get kind of lost in it, and then you're stuck there forever. But
yeah, I've been to the Bermuda Triangle. I understand that.
Yeah, but at the same time, what would you say as far as like, you know, because this is a position where, you know, we do incorporate the town, we incorporate the culture, both in the history and in the present. Or in the present, and, you know, I think of, like, the mayor as an ambassador. How would you describe your life experience with this town of Louisville and the city?
Well, to be honest with you, it has to do with service. There's many times in my life I went ahead, saw a problem, had a concern about it, and I took it head on. A good example is I had an opportunity to serve as a security officer in the Olympics in Atlanta, which is 1996. And what I saw was our team was so dysfunctional that they were trying to get things done. And I said to myself, well, if I could do this, this, and this, I could be able to help them. So I went ahead and volunteered for being a team lead on that on the security team. I took care of their needs, and we came together as a team. I mean, they really appreciate it. I did the small things that help them, even out of my own pocket. And to me, that makes a huge difference. So I learned a lot right then and there. Another time, I was working for Public Works, and I took on another job with no one else would touch, and that was training representative. So I went ahead, set the guidelines up, did everything I could, and within 3 years, I was really proficient in that. And I did something that no one else wanted to. And I put myself out for others, and that was the whole point. They didn't want to do it, I did. It was the idea. So doing jobs that people don't want to do and try to do the best you can makes a big difference in serving others. That's what I did. They're just two prime examples. Yeah. So in that aspect, I got to tell you this story. This really happened too. We lived in Cartersville, Georgia. And one summer night, my wife is a Louisvillian, true and blue. We both went to the same Fern Creek High School. She graduated in 76. I graduated in 74. And one night she cornered me and said, "Bob, you will get me back to Kentucky." Okay. And I was like, "Okay, how am I going to do this?" So I went ahead and I tried and I applied for different jobs. And I finally got a job in McCreary County. And I kept my promise within 6 months. I went there in June 1999 and I became a food service officer, or a food service manager. So my daughter, she went into the middle school, which is Whitley Middle School, and I had my first taste of politics. I was on the site board, which I won by one vote, okay? And I went into this meeting, and it looks like about 6 feet worth of paperwork. And I had to learn all this stuff. And this is a volunteer position now. I'm going, what did I get myself into? But, I looked back and I said, well, it's the reason why I'm here. And I want to do what's right for the kids in that school. So that's where I started. So I learned everything I could. And I was part of that team for about a year. Then I went in and they had an opportunity to go into the school board, which I served for about a year. And when I walked in that door, same thing happened again. We had this classic audit across McCreary County, all the different schools, and we were on the bottom percentile when it came to reading, writing, arithmetic. And I was going, okay, again, when I was set back, the whole team had to learn to look at the information in front of us. It's like almost like different type of math. Once we learned how to decipher the information, then we knew how to target the problem. We did. So we went ahead and targeted reading. Reading was a big problem in McCreary County. So we have tackled it down to the very bottom of kindergarten, and we look at the eighth grade as a transitional period between eighth and going into high school. So we got a lot of students involved in extra reading for them to catch up. Because to me, if you don't know how to read and comprehend, how can you be able to keep a job? So when we did that, within 3 years, we went up from the bottom to the middle, and then the grade school, we hit the top 25 percentile when it comes to the state, which is pretty cool. So we're trying to give these kids a chance, fighting chance, to not only mature, but to excel in reading, and that's what we did. So I'm not afraid to take on challenges. And to me, being a mayor, you have to look at the information in front of you and do what's right for the citizens, not for myself, but what's right for the citizens and focusing on where we are now and where we can be in the next 5-10 years. So I feel like I have that passion still burning inside me and doing what's right for them first, putting me last. And to me, a mayor should serve others before he serves himself, not understanding, hey, I can get this mansion out here for $1.5 million. I can do this, this, and this. No, that's not the point. Point is, how can we utilize, and we had a budget of $25 million in McCreary County, and we were always in the black. We never were in the red. And we focused. The first thing we did was student achievement. Everything had to be focused on that. So as a mayor, I want everything focused on the citizen first. And to me, that's more important than anything else. And if I don't have that desire to serve, then I'm in trouble. You know what I mean?
Now, speaking of service, Now, in part of your story, we heard about you had the opportunity to do security with the Olympics, which obviously brings us back to, you know, something that probably led to that, and that is your armed forces service. Tell us a little bit about that, and what are some qualities that that brought out to you, serving our country?
Well, I served on USS Mahan and for 3 years. It gave me a chance to really grow up, to be honest with you. I was young and naive, green behind the ears, and I went through boot camp, and I saw all these different things. So I had to tell myself, hey, you know, it's time to grow up and do what's right, learn the skills, the trades. I was a boatswain mate on a third-class petty officer, and I did the best I could. So I served 3 years, got out, went back in 1980, and now I went ahead. I had a desire for cooking, so I went ahead and crossed right into the MS, which is food service field, became a third class, and then became a second class. And the difference between active and reserves is that a lot of times the active people in the service, and I have my great regards for them, don't really understand what reserves is all about. I remember one time we were down in Jackson, Florida, and I overheard this guy say, well, these reserve guys, they don't know what's going on. They're part-timers. I mean, just put them somewhere, right? And I said to myself, no, this is not right. Because I'm going to prove myself right here and right now. And I did. I went in there, did the job, and I showed them that as reservists, we can coexist with the regular Navy, and we did. Even in 1989, when I was second-class petty officer, and besides the hospital, I remember these two ladies. They were really kind and sweet. They had a kind of a disregard for reservists. And I said to myself, I'm okay. I'll wait my turn, and I'll do what's right. And then one time, they gave me a recipe. They told me, well, go ahead and do this. I said, okay, that's fine. And it was corned beef, okay? So I did the corned beef right. It was nice and tender. And all of a sudden, it was like a 180 turned around. These little ladies said, Bob, you know how to cook. Well, yeah, yes, ma'am, I do know how to cook. So when I went back next time, it was like open arms. Hey, Bob, I'm glad you're here. You know, why don't you help us out? So to me, we change hearts, change minds, and change the souls of those people, showing them that we can do the job. Now, how does it relate to the mayor? I believe that we have an obligation to verify everything we do in life. Once you verify something, they see that, it's like saying there's a light on and this can do the job. I did the same thing at UPS. Show them I can do the job. Even when I did fail once or twice, because we're all human beings, I showed them that this can be done, and I'm the man for that position. I volunteered to be on the safety committee. I was a wellness champion at UPS. And all these things gave me a lot of different perspectives, because you got to look at, analyze, you know, different graphics, different trends, learn all these different things to find out where things are. So, and that's what we did. We did that as a committee. We try to figure out how can we find ways to teach our employees what not to do and what to do and the safe work methods that we use. And to me, if you're not had that ownership into a city, state, or even a group, then you're not worth your own salt. You know what I'm saying? You see where I'm from?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I want to make sure that sometimes silence is not good. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Let me move on a little bit. What role does faith play in your life?
A lot. I remember one time when I was about 13 years old, my grandma passed away. I was in a small church. And I kind of commit myself again to God, saying I would do my best with what I had. And to me, faith is ingrained in me. I believe that sometimes in life we don't understand what's going on, but we have to have something to hold on to. And to me, I'd rather hold on to him than hold on to what happens in society. And to me, that's better than anything else. I have a lot of faith in my dad. He's a pastor of a General Baptist Church. And he's 92 years old, and he still keeps on going. And he still teaches at 92 years, and I'm going, this is pretty cool. I mean, I'm hoping to reach that plateau where I can be able to teach others, especially in the community, and help kids at the age of 92. I'm a lifelong learner. I believe that if you keep that type of attitude, that you'll never fail. Even if you stumble and fall, you can always get back up and walk forward and keep on going. And you have that mentality. We all can learn something every day. Rhett Skelton was one of my mentors. He's a Mason, just like I am. And he saw things in a different perspective. He always did different things. He always kept himself active. I think my dad's the same way. To me, in our society, we tend to watch TV and sit there for hours and hours, and we get stagnated. I don't think God wants to put us on the planet just to sit there and do nothing. So to me, we need to do something even if we fail at it. You know, he really appreciates our attitude and our humbleness towards a problem. You know what I mean? So then I hope that answers your question.
Oh, yeah. Now, let me get a question, and I only know this theologically, so it might come out a little complex, but when we look at history, you know, we look at a term called providence, where it just seems like, now, a person of a different faith might say the stars align, but I think of it in terms of providence, of how history combines itself. Where do you see things fitting in with the Louisville Metro Mayor, Bob DeVore, for such a time as this? Do you see things working out in a way to where this is the answer for you and this is the answer for Louisville? Do you see a big picture, a vision for that with you and with the city?
I believe, and this is my opinion, and that's why let me put that in perspective, that leadership follows their own philosophical viewpoints. I believe that at one time when Greg Fisher walks in the door, he said he was a businessman. He wanted you to treat with business ideas, business concepts. But if you really look deep in the past and see his philosophical viewpoint, to me, he's hollow. He has no strong conviction to do what's right for our citizens. My philosophical viewpoint is real simple. And I look to the Creator and put him first, and then I put my neighbor second. My wife will tell you right now that I'd rather take off the back of my shirt and give it to somebody else to try to help them. And to me, we need to have someone who's not afraid to do what's right, even in the midst of the situation, such as the McRae County. We had to look at the audit and take that, you know, tough bite and do what's right for our kids. I believe my philosophical point is you look to the Creator to find possible solutions, and he gives us the courage to keep moving forward. And then hopefully when others come around me and they collaborate in the same direction, that we have the same vision, the same hope, that we can create a better tomorrow for the city of Louisville and try to keep things in mind, saying that this is our budget. We have to stick with this budget. We have to take care of these priorities. MSDS is blowing up. Mayor Greg Fisher doesn't want to touch it. Another one is the police department. He promised them a new building. And I think the building should be centrally located in Jefferson County, where they have easy access from all sides of it. To me, that's proactive. He's always really reactive. He thinks that the bourbon industry is going to save Louisville. Well, if you look at the points, bourbon industry is only a small percentage of GDP. And then he goes into hospitality. And then these things are very good, but we're not getting to the real soul of our city. And that's just putting the citizens first. Getting our people back to work.
Yeah. And, you know, obviously, we're going to be going through exposing not only the state of affairs with Louisville currently, but also going part by part through your plan as we go through other episodes and, you know, divvy this out and show where the ideas matter and put this stuff together. But, basically, the state of Louisville right now really desperately needs true leadership. It needs somebody who's ready to pick themselves up by the bootstraps, to roll up their sleeve, to serve, as opposed to somebody who's going to be there for a few versus being there for the whole, because I'm living in this city where all the business, many of the people, and typically the people who are leaving are the people who are actually, you know, making a decent wage, are leaving and exiting our state. And, you know, the thing that gets spread around is the debt of the city is getting spread around, and ruined lives and drug abuse are being, and crime are being spread around. But the only thing that's being a major export that I'm seeing in the city is the export of people with good jobs who are leaving, who are finding more fortune outside. And so this is definitely a time where, you know, we need to buckle down and find a real leader. And I think that, you know, Bob DeVore should be the first place to look. So that's what going through as we go over these things.
Yes, sir. And I'm a down-to-earth guy who came from a low middle-class family and has lived years and years of cleaning toilets, doing things I did not like, but I did it with pride, and focusing on what's best for others, to going and taking on challenges that sometimes, you know, it's over my head, but at least we're moving forward. And one of the biggest things, which we're going further, is the breakdown of the family. I believe the breakdown of the family is a big contributor to what happened in the shootings in the different schools. Marshall County is a prime example of that. And I believe that once we start strengthening the family, I think we start moving up and start helping these kids find out where they're at and bringing positive discipline in the family, which is good. And because it helps kids understand their own restrictions. Knowing that will help the family itself. But we got to go back to basics. And then faith, family, and freedom. Those three basic points. But nobody wants to talk about that until it's too late. They always want to blame the gun. They always want to blame the firearms. But they don't understand the psychic of that individual and what happened. And I think down the road we'll start breaking this down into piece by piece. And to me, once we do that, we're heading in the right direction.
That's right. And I know we're going to leave a lot of people wanting more, but that's what we're going to get as we go through things with Bob DeVore. So kind of have a little bit of a rhyme there just to see if I can take on Jesse Jackson. But, this will be a good series as we go through this. And, you know, one of the things is that Bob is not an elitist. Bob is not a celebrity. You know, Bob is one of the people, and we are the people. And so this is about us taking our government back and taking our communities back and making a big difference. And I feel very confident, and we're going to, you know, we're going to focus on reaching the people. We're going to focus on, you know, putting our faith and hope and love in God, and we're going to focus on finding solutions. So get ready as we delve that out throughout the next couple months here on Kentuckiana Grassroots Radio. And for Bob and I, we'll go ahead and we'll see you a little bit later. So y'all have a good one. And come on back and listen to the show sometime.
That's all it is, satellite, with unlimited kicks. When you get a line, if you get a line, hey, what's your name?